Right now it's nearly 11:30 a.m. time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which the focus will be the Farm Sanctuary. It's co-founder Gene Bauer and his acclaimed new book. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Davy Graham with a piece called Buffalo here on WMNF. This is Davy Graham with a piece called Buffalo, an animal tune of sorts, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, streaming live on the internet via the station's gorgeous website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the proof's in the pudding at our website, TalkingAnimals.net, where there's archives of all our past shows. And we're podcasting on iTunes, including all the programs we've done here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition once again extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have in a moment with our guest Gene Bauer, president and co-founder of the Farm Sanctuary, the nation's leading farm animal protection organization. For more than 20 years, the Farm Sanctuary has sought to expose and stop cruel practices of the factory farm industry through various means. Bauer has guided these efforts and has written an acclaimed new book, Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds, about animals and food. We'll find out more about the Farm Sanctuary and the book, including a book signing he'll be doing in Tampa next week. And we speak with Gene Bauer in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Okay, though, right now let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Ellen DeGeneres with a snippet of a piece called Licking a Frog on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
I don't sniff glue, but I have licked a frog once. Well, it was Jeremiah. Here's what happened. He wanted some wine, and so... How many people, by round of applause, knew that if you licked a frog, you got high? There was a fad going around. How many people, by round of applause, are just amazed you're hearing that for the first time and you had no idea? That's why I ask people to play. It is amazing to me that was... How desperate are we to get high? That's a fad going around, that if you lick a frog... And how many animals did we go through? Here, lick the anus of a mongoose. See what happens. You could get high. I was wrong about the raccoon, yes, but... Imagine that even catching on, that you're at a cocktail party with a frog in your hand, just chatting away. Right. That's what I said. I'm like, yes. Another frog. You'd like two frogs.
All right, that's Ellen DeGeneres with a piece of a piece, if you will, called Licking a Frog, taken from her album Taste This. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is TalkingAnimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but many are now available as podcasts and iTunes. For example, our last show with the author Amy Sutherland, whose latest book is What Shamu Taught Me About Life, Love, and Marriage. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter, so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guest program news and remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. That's all found on TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Gene Bauer, so let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I mentioned a moment ago, he's president and co-founder of the Farm Sanctuary, the nation's leading farm animal protection organization. For more than 20 years, the Farm Sanctuary has sought to expose and stop cruel practices of the factory farming industry through research and investigations, legal and legislative actions, public awareness projects, and other means. Their sanctuaries in Watkins Glen, New York, and Orland, California provide lifelong care for hundreds of rescued animals. Bauer has guided these efforts since co-founding the sanctuary in 1986 and has written an acclaimed new book, Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds, about animals and food. Bauer will do a book signing April 17th in Tampa at Borders, 909 North Dale Mabry Highway, from 7 to 9 p.m. So there's much to discuss here. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Gene Bauer to Talking Animals. Are you there, Gene?
Yes, hello.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals. Welcome, or welcome
Absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you.
Cool. Well, one of the, got lots to cover and so little time, so we're going to jump right in. One of the key threads that kind of laced through your new book is the various efforts you've been involved with over the years to pass animal welfare legislation, sometimes successfully. Often those efforts have sort of been thwarted by either the factory farming industry or sort of buffoonish politicians. So let's say someone with the magical powers, let's pretend that it's me, grants you the ability to push through one piece of legislation today. What would it be?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I would say banning the slaughter of downed animals for food would be a very good thing to do, and it's come close to passing, so that is hopefully achievable in the very near term. Now, if we had full powers to do anything we wanted to do, I think we would completely redo the Farm Bill and put tax support into healthier, more sustainable food systems, specifically plant-based agriculture, as opposed to the industrial factory farming system, which unfortunately our Farm Bill currently supports.
Wow. All right. Well, I threw you a big question. You came back with a big answer. I mean, you know, along the lines of kind of your initial response, I mean, sort of very early in the existence of Farm Sanctuary, and really, perhaps not coincidentally, very early in the book, you know, you were lobbying for policies and legislation that dealt with downed animals at stockyards and slaughterhouses. So, you know, some of these efforts obviously then extend back the better part of 20 years. I'm curious then how you felt about the Humane Society's recent undercover investigation and then the ensuing sort of, you know, broader, I think, national awareness, if not dialogue, about downer animals. Does he feel like this is going to sort of give us the sort of further impetus that we need?
Yes, I think that the fact that that footage aired as widely as it did and draw as much attention to this issue as it has is a very good thing, and hopefully will lead to the passage of the Downed Animal and Food Safety Protection Act, which is legislation we've been working on for, you know, about two decades now.
Right.
You know, and the reason that this recall occurred is that a law was violated. The USDA inspectors were not doing their job. They were not inspecting downed animals the way they were supposed to be, and that's why this recall occurred. But in our view, downed animals should not be sent to slaughterhouses in the first place, and the loophole that allows them still to be used for food in some circumstances should be closed, and all downed animals should be banned from going into the food supply. We think that's the best answer to the problem.
For sure. And I think there's any number of places that people can find out more about that, but a good place to probably start would be the Farm Sanctuary's website itself, which is farmsanctuary.org. Let me just let people know, if they're just tuning in, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Farm Sanctuary co-founder Gene Bauer, whose new book is Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food. He'll be at Borders in Tampa April 17th from 7 to 9 p.m. But right now, if you'd like to join the conversation or ask Gene a question, here's your chance, 813-239-9663. Or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. Gene, I'd like to spend a moment talking about the importance of attitude for those working to sort of advocate and or educate in the animal welfare world. By that, I mean your own approach, which certainly comes across, you know, constantly and sort of loud and clear in the book, and sort of a classic teach-by-example approach is, you know, whether it's the matter-of-fact way you recount your dad's, you know, heart attack and this change in diet, then sort of a gradual return to eating meat and your own sort of continuing efforts to swing him back the other direction, or even something like shooting video of a stockyard your Bakersfield and then this aggressive manager hitting you in the back with a cattle prod, or just countless examples where you sort of have kept your cool and or avoided being judgmental. I'm just really interested in this because I think, you know, some of this, of course, may be the product of age or maturity. But can you sort of address the philosophical divide of those who embrace kind of what I would say, you know, is your style as opposed to those who feel real change can only be affected by louder or more aggressive, sometimes more destructive measures?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Mahatma Gandhi, and you know, he said that he would rather bring people to their senses than bring them to their knees, and I fully subscribe to that position. And you know, I think sometimes in the animal movement, people do get frustrated and do get angry, and it is difficult to see animals continuing to suffer and progress moving forward so slowly. But I really do believe that the only way for change to occur is for us to be patient and persistent, and to continue pushing forward and telling the truth about what happens to animals, and understanding that oftentimes people do bad things, not because they're mean people, but because they're just unaware or uninformed about how their practices cause harm, or about other alternatives which are healthier and more humane. So, you know, this takes time. I mean, I grew up in eating meat. I grew up, in fact, in Hollywood, California, and as a kid, I did commercials for McDonald's.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all, you know, grow up and we learn as we go, and I think that what we're encouraging people to consider is good for themselves as well as for the animals, and I'm hopeful that more and more people will come around and think more carefully about their food choices.
Absolutely, and something you just touched on reminded me of something that, you know, just different people have, not even necessarily light bulb moments, because maybe they've had a certain amount of awareness even previously. But for example, you know, my wife, who's Canadian, so unfortunately she grew up with the whole seal hunt thing for years and years. But she was just reading something recently, and about that, and I'm sort of paraphrasing her paraphrase, but she read somebody involved with that said, you know, what you see on the ice with these seals being clubbed and bloodied happens every day, all year long, in slaughterhouses and factory farming operations. And for her, it just sort of like crystallized it in a different way, even though she, again, is, you know, a big animal person and certainly enlightened or whatever. But sometimes it's just, you know, a certain thing just really kind of gets through.
No, it's very true. And I think for each person, different little moments or events affect how we think and perceive the world around us and how we act. And unfortunately, we don't think very much about what happens to animals on farms. And I think there's even a strong desire not to think about it, because
yeah,
it is upsetting and it is problematic. And so we sort of live in a state of denial most of the time. And we're urging people to open their minds and think and look, and then to act in ways that are consistent with their own conscience, their own values. And, you know, unfortunately, right now, most people who are shopping at grocery stores and buying animal products are supporting systems that they would probably be repulsed by if they saw what was happening.
Absolutely. And along those lines, in fact, you know, among the things I really love about the new book is that each chapter ends with a profile of one or more the animals living in the farm sanctuaries in either Watkins Glen, New York, or Orland, California. And I think that's, you know, back to what you're saying about sometimes it's the little deals or just details or things that kind of connect with people. So let's talk about some of those animals profiled. And it seems like, in a way, we almost have to start with Opie.
Opie, yes. He was a calf that was left for dead at a stockyard in upstate New York. He was born to a dairy cow, and for cows to give milk, they have to give birth. And the male calves are useless to the dairy industry, so they're usually sent to the stockyard. And he went on the day he was born. He was still wet from afterbirth, and he was just left there to die. And I came upon him and asked the stockyard worker what was happening with the calf. And he said that he had to bury the calf later in the day. So I offered to take Opie off of his hands, took him to the veterinarian, and he recovered fully. He ended up weighing about 3,000 pounds and enjoyed a long life at Farm Sanctuary. And I'm sorry to say that he died just within the past week or so.
Yeah.
As he got older, his body started to fail. These animals have been genetically bred to grow very big, and sometimes their bodies have a hard time supporting their mass and size. And but he lived with us for about 18 years and had a very good life.
Yeah, and again, his recent passing is one of the reasons I wanted to focus on him. But, you know, among the virtues of these profiles is that the story of these animals are not only often poignant, but some aspects, of course, are upsetting, or at least how they came to Farm Sanctuary initially. But they can also be really illuminating in various ways. I mean, for example, you know, I'd like to think, you know, I'm pretty well informed about animals and their behavior and their capability to feel and express emotions. But it turns out, you know, even I might have been a bit underinformed or even snobby because, like, I'm a big elephant guy, for example. I know elephants are emotionally complex creatures who, you know, grieve, for instance, when another member of the herd dies. But I guess I didn't fully realize till reading your book, you know, how farm animals are pretty emotionally, complex themselves, and some of their responses and reactions and just emotions, even across species, are pretty complicated. So maybe you could sort of talk about, for example, Phoebe and David.
Yeah. No, again, like, as you say, these animals have very complex emotions, and they have relationships with other animals and form very close bonds. And Phoebe and David is one example of that. Phoebe was a cow, and David was a sheep. And Phoebe, you know, had been used in the industry as a breeding cow, and her calves were routinely taken away, and so her maternal instinct was thwarted, like, and frustrated, like is so often the case. But at Farm Sanctuary, she became very maternal and very protective of the other animals, you know, such as David, the sheep. And so she would watch over David. And when he came to us, he was older and he was feeble. So she especially watched over him and cared for him. But David died because he was older. And Phoebe could not be consoled. She was bellowing, and she, when David was taken away, she was looking and searching for him. She was trying to nuzzle him and wake him up when she saw him. So it was just a very difficult time. And, you know, Phoebe was very close to David, very, very, and when he, after he died, she was never the same.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, these animals really do have strong emotions and strong feelings. And that is something that we're learning at Farm Sanctuary. And I think most people, you know, it would be good to know that, in fact, these are living creatures. They're not just pieces of meat.
Absolutely, and there's other examples. I want to get a lot of stuff. We have some email questions and callers and stuff. But, I mean, for example, Hope and Johnny, too. I mean, these are both pigs, but, you know, in a way, it sort of almost reminded me what you hear and read about over the years about, you know, couples who've been together, you know, years and years and years, and one unfortunately passes away, and then, well, there doesn't seem to be any medical explanation, the other one shortly thereafter passes away. And that seems to at least be your theory about what happened here with Hope and Johnny, the pigs.
That's exactly right. You know, Hope was a crippled pig, and Johnny was much younger and took care of Hope and made sure that she got her food and nobody else came and got it from her. And he was her constant companion and guardian. And Hope died. Again, she was older. And then within a couple of weeks, Johnny died, although he was a healthy pig. And it was very sad, you know. It's as if he died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
Again, these are animals with very deep emotions that we're just starting to understand.
Yeah. Well, again, this is Talking Animals on WMNF, and we're speaking with Gene Bauer about the Farm Sanctuary, which he co-founded more than 20 years ago, and his acclaimed new book, Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. In fact, we do have at least one email question here I'd like to share with you, Gene. Someone writes in saying, what is the most effective way you've found to change people's minds about eating animals?
Well, I think when people visit Farm Sanctuary and they get to meet animals who live there and look in their eyes, that is one of the most effective ways, I think, for people to reevaluate what their food choices are and to perhaps consider that animals can be our friends instead of our food. But you know, it all starts with just becoming aware and starting to ask questions and question assumptions. You know, we grow up without really making the decision to eat meat. It's just something we tend to do because we're taught to eat meat and people around us are eating meat. But the fact is, we don't need to eat other animals, and in fact, we're healthier if we don't.
Yeah, and one of the things that's so wonderful about this book is it's sort of a, you know, in the best possible sense, sort of a crazy quilt, really, because, I mean, it initially it sort of purports to tell your story and the beginnings of the farm sanctuary, and then there's the animal profiles that we've alluded to, which kind of help anchor the book back to the sanctuary. But really, you're sort of reading along, and before you know it, the book also becomes a fairly, you know, pretty engaging textbook on how factory farming actually works for beef, for pork, for chicken, for milk, for veal, etc. And, you know, it's hard to imagine someone reading, you know, reading along. And again, it's, you know, the way you do it, you're just sort of saying, laying out the information. It's not emotional or shrill, but it's still obviously unsettling. So as a kind of a sneak preview for those who maybe haven't had a chance to read the book yet, you know, what's the sort of a key point, if you had to pick one, or revelation about that world, the world of factory farming that you might cite for people to sort of be aware of?
Well, I think a key point is that bad has become normal. Mm-hmm. What happens to these animals on farms is atrocious, and it has become normalized and systematized and institutionalized, and it's defended by agribusiness. It's defended by their friendly lawmakers, and you know, most citizens would be shocked to learn what happens to the animals. And for the past 20 years, I've been visiting these places. I've been talking to farmers. And many farmers are also not very comfortable with the kind of cruelty they're engaged in.
Yeah.
But they tend to accept. After a while, they start developing bad habits. And again, we want people to question their habits, to question their assumptions, and to look at things clearly with an open mind and make decisions that are consistent with their own conscience.
Absolutely. Well, that raises a few other thoughts. But let's take a call here, if we could, Gene. Hi, you're on WMNF with Gene Bauer from Farm Sanctuary and Talking Animals.
Gene, how do you do, sir? I'm just listening to your show, and I think it's really wonderful. Can I ask a question that you might ask your guest?
Well, you can ask him directly. Yeah, you're on the line with him. Yeah.
Oh, I am.
Yes.
Can I just ask a question and maybe hang up and listen to your
Absolutely,
response?
Of course.
Okay. I'm just wondering if, With the situation the way it is toward the animals, is mad cow disease in the food chain? And I'm just curious as to what you think about it. If in fact you care to respond to that,
I'll bet.
My question is certainly is a concern to me. I'm not a meat eater, but I have a lot of friends and family who are, and sometimes you hear this thing disguised as an increase of Alzheimer's disease or things like that. But I'm so curious to hear your response. And you're doing beautiful things, and I'm just really, really happy about what you're doing and the show.
Oh, well, thanks for your call. And I'm sure Gene actually would like to address this, because certainly mad cow and aspects of it come up a handful of times in the book. Go ahead, Gene.
Yes, there's been evidence that we have had a variant of mad cow disease in the U.S. since the early 1990s, but the USDA has done a very bad job of looking into the problem and really trying to understand it and assess the extent of the problem. In 2003, the USDA finally admitted that we have mad cow disease in the U.S., but I don't think they fully understand the extent to which we may have the disease. And the USDA has, unfortunately, taken a don't look, don't find approach to mad cow disease, as well as many other diseases. The USDA actually allows diseased animals into the food supply. We've been trying to get them to prevent diseased animals from entering the food supply for years, but so far that they still allow it, and that's an ongoing project.
Okay, and in a way that sort of indirectly may answer this latest email question that we have up on the screen here. Have you had any success with environmentalists switching to veganism? And if so, could you offer me any advice to reiterate the negatives associated with meat consumption and environmental degradation? But I think you sort of addressed at least one of those fairly forcefully a moment ago.
Yeah, well, the environmental community is slowly coming around to recognize how animal agriculture is a major problem for our planet's well-being. The United Nations last year issued a report called Livestock's Long Shadow, and in it they talked about how the meat industry is a greater contributor to global warming and greenhouse gases than the entire transportation industry. So I think the facts are now starting to show that this is a very important concern, and I believe environmentalists are going to start paying more attention to it, and we're reaching out to them and encouraging them to do so.
Great. Okay, well, we're in the final moments, unfortunately, of our time with Gene. Let's take a quick call for you're on the air on WMNF with Gene Bauer on Talking Animals.
Yes, this is Bob from Coppin Springs.
Hi, Bob. Question for Gene?
I had a thing about, the beef, number one, is every time I go to McDonald's, which is very, very rarely, if you have a hamburger there, it goes right through you like you were drinking a bottle of soap. And makes you ill all day long. I was just wondering what they do with that beef.
Okay, Gene, you want to address that?
Well, I don't know exactly what they do at McDonald's with their beef, but I do know that, generally speaking, if you have animals that are being ground up, they tend to have been animals that were less well-treated. It's similar to grapes or other fruit. If they come off the plant in good shape, they're sold in packages. But if they're bruised or in rougher shape, they start getting ground up into juice or jellies. Same sort of principle applies in animal agriculture. So the more ground up something is, the more likely that it may have come from an animal that was in pretty rough shape.
And really, this might be as good a time as any to mention one of the many things I learned in your book, is that Burger King launched the BK Burger in Watkins Glen. Is that not? Do I have that correct?
They launched the BK Veggie Burger in Watkins Glen back in the early 1990s. That's right. It sold like crazy.
Yeah. And I think one of the cool things is that's pretty much on their menu everywhere, whereas the McDonald's, which obviously just came up in a question, I guess, has their veggie alternative on some menus but not all. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And we hope that, these restaurants, all restaurants, start offering more plant-based options. They're healthier for us, and we as a nation eat way too many animal products. So just replacing animal products with plant foods is a very positive step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, Gene, gosh, I'm afraid we're sort of just nearing the end of our time, but I do want to remind folks of a couple of things. One is that you'll be in Tampa next week, next Thursday, April 17th, at the Borders at 909 North Dale Mabry Highway from 7 to 9 p.m., doing, I guess, at least a signing, if not a reading, so people want to come out and say hello. That's a great opportunity to do so. And the name of the book, again, is Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food, and doing a number of other signings and appearances in other parts of Florida. So depending on where you're listening to this, you can come see those and check out GeneBauer.com for that information. And either way, for sure, go to farmsanctuary.org for that kind of information and all kinds of other stuff, including information about adoption. There's so many things I was hoping to get to with you, Gene, but we're out of time now. But hopefully we'll have you on again somewhere down the road. And thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals.
I'm very happy to do so anytime. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball hat. Pretty nice looking thing if you ask me. So you know you want one of those. Be the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identify this animal tune, a nod to Gene Bauer and the Farm Sanctuary. It's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF. All right, we've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals in WMNF Tampa. Okay, we got a full bank of phone lines. Hi, do you know the answer? Hi, you're on WMNF, do you know the answer? Hi, you're on WMNF, do you know the answer?
Marianne Little Lamb?
So close and not quite right. Okay,
that's
sorry.
That's what it started out.
Well, sort of, but all right. It was actually more tied into Farm Sanctuary, but a nice try. Okay, so anyway, yeah, it is the end of Talking Animals for today. We'll be back. Of course, the show now airs twice a month, the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back Wednesday, May 7th, for another edition. Hope you'll join us then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll return for another edition of Talking Animals, as I say, Wednesday, May 7th, on WMNF Tampa. And we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This is brand new REM with Horse to Water, right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks. Catch you next time.
I could have kept my head down. I'm not shut. I should have held my own. You need a horse to water and you watch him drown. Battles, rattle my cage with your shadow. I'm a bantamweight with a mouth.